Hello, my warriors. How are we today? Okay, on my Facebook page, which you are more than welcome to come and join me, it's the Barefoot Warrior Discussion Group. Send through a request, leave your email, agree to abide by the rules, and come on in. I did a live video this morning talking about red flags, and it was very interesting, and I wanted to expand on that today. I've got 14 points here. I'm just going to run through them. Some of them, you know, it doesn't resonate with me, but it might resonate with you. And I'll extend on some that definitely did resonate with me. Why am I talking about red flags? Because in my own, when I look back at my own, every bad decision I made was because I did not listen to a red flag. I did not heed them. I saw them and went, it doesn't matter. Or excuse the behaviour, or just point blank ignored it. So I want to go through them, and I don't think it's something that's spoken about in detail enough, to be honest. It's really important when you're moving forward to heed those, and those of you out there that have done the healing are going to be very aware of all of these things. And a lot of people out there choose to be single because they're just tired of not having a healthy relationship. Hats off to you guys who choose to be single, because it's not something I have been able to achieve for extended periods of time in my own life. I like being in a relationship, but I knew that I had to take time aside for me to heal. And a lot of what I'm about to talk about is the things that I did not heed and I did not listen to, a lot of them, because they were, the signs are right there, and I can see them in other people, whether it's a work colleague or something else, plain as day. And I know now that I need to stay or be very cautious around that person. So let's get started. The person puts you on a pedestal. I actually was the one who had that particular quality in my previous relationships. Sex drive is not even, it's not equal. Your boundaries are pushed. Even in what seemingly seems trivial. Not enough time between the relationships. They drive a wedge between you and your friends and your family. They roll your eyes whenever you talk. They describe all their exes as crazy. They call you names in arguments. They have no work ethic. They're cruel to their parents. Their attitude changes on a dime. And I actually call this the Jekyll and Hyde attitude. They have different sleeping schedule to you, and I'm not talking shift work here. They cheated on their last partner with you, or they have cheated. Now that, that I think that's up, that's a personal choice, that one. Not cheating. Yes, cheating is a personal choice, but yeah, I'll extend on it in a minute. And they demand or think they are entitled to your phone, your email, your social media passwords. So, and I know on the website that I got those off, because I resonate with a lot of them, and I have spoken about some of them in previous podcasts. But though that particular list is not my work, I just thought it was something that we could discuss in this podcast. So putting one on a pedestal, I did this with previous people. I would see their potential. I would, you know, say, but you can do it, you can do any, you know. And by the time I hit that wall of I can't do this anymore, I was bitter, angry and horrible. So the pedestal thing, I had to heal myself through. I had to go to therapy and work through that myself. Number two, sex drive is not even. You've got, and this is an extreme version, you know, you've got someone who wants it absolutely every day, you know, has this incessant need for it. And you've got someone who could, you know, go without it for months. Ultimately, the question you've got to ask is, in 2 years' time, is this really going to work? You know, if your values and I want to have that physical connection with someone, but you're now with someone who doesn't like sex, and it's a real big thing, it will only snowball. So boundaries are pushed even in the minute. I had a previous partner that we went camping and I had to go to the toilet and I jumped out of the truck and went to the toilet and then came back to the car and she moved the car just as I went to open the door. And then, you know, I sort of stood there and she went, no, it's okay. So I went to reach for the door again and she moved and she thought it was very funny and so did her son. I got the shits and stormed off. Their little boundaries that are big red flags because ultimately having a laugh on me was more important than showing me respect. I would often in that particular relationship give a boundary and it would be pushed through by either party. So, you know, just as an example, if having a long-term relationship is your goal, you need to heed that. And you know, and then the next number four is not leaving enough time between relationships. And that I have done that. I have been that red flag. It's just so important to heal and get some therapy, get some clarity around your own fuck-ups, get some clarity on dropping stuff that isn't yours that you may have picked up in that relationship and giving yourself some space and time to just be with you and rediscover who you are after all of that growth. It's just very, very important. Number five, they drive a wedge between you and your family and friends. And this one, my warriors, is a red flag to abuse 101. It is the first thing an abuser will do to gain control of you. And it be under no illusions that's anybody that does that, I would run for the hills. And if you are arguing with me, then I challenge you to address that with that person. And you may see a few things come out. Some people do it very covertly. And then all of a sudden, 6 months down the track, you're not seeing your friends. I've had it happen to me a couple of times. And they all three people did it differently. Some would not say point blank. Some would. You know, some people just can't handle the fact that you've got a healthy, vibrant social family. They just can't handle it because it's not something they have ever had, or they're jealous of it, or whatever. My girlfriend and I love our families, and we encourage each other when it comes to our families, and that's just so fucking important. And the reverse, if you are cut off from your family for whatever reason, and you've got that support, as long as it works for you two, and there's peace and harmony within that decision, then that's okay. But that's not what this point is saying. This point is saying, they're around their family and you're not. So that's how they get to have control of you. This is disrespect 101, number 6, rolling their eyes at everything you say. I honestly would be, that's like a red flag at me. It's like, well, who are you to roll your eyes at me? What I have to say is valid. Once again, with every single one of these things, imagine yourself in 5 years' time. Do you really think it's going to last? In 5 years' time, if they roll their eyes every time you speak, how do you think you're going to feel about what you have to say in 5 years' time? In fact, you're probably going to end up not saying anything because there's no point. But you have a right to speak. You have a right to have an opinion. And they have no right to disrespect you like that. So this is the question that you have to ask yourself. In 5 years' time, is this going to snowball into something that I can't handle? Is it going to be a deal breaker? They describe all their exes as crazy. Yep, I've been with people that have done that, and the relationship was not good, because a lot of these things, they've got more than one. It's not an isolated thing. They usually have, these red flags are not isolated. They're usually in groups. So number 8 is they call you names in an argument. That's what it had on the website. I actually have a lot to say about this one. I come from a verbally abusive childhood, and I don't like conflict. So I have had to be, sorry, not just me, my girlfriend and I have been very deliberate in creating a relationship where we are both safe to talk through things. And it's the last time we did it, it was not comfortable for me. But what happens when that happens is my girlfriend does challenge me, and she will ask me straight out what's going on. And I answer with total transparency and honesty, because that's our commitment to our relationship. My point with that is, you might like arguing. I personally don't. I don't think calling names is, once again, it ties in with that, the boundaries. It ties in with, rolling their eyes. It ties in with describing all their exes as crazy. Because it's all about them. It's the calling you names, like, that's not on. That is just not on. In fact, my parents actually used to say that with each other. Maybe not so much the names, but they go, your family this, your family that. And I think that's off. That's out of bounds in a relationship. Respect has to be at a very, very, very deep level. And throwing aspersions at each other's family is not on. Being honest about how you feel is one thing, but, talking meanly about each other's family is just a no-go zone. Okay, so number nine, having no work ethic. Yep, that's very, very, you know, one thing I really, really love about my girlfriend is her work ethic. You know, she's very, very committed to her job, and everything she does. So that work ethic, it is the job that they have for bringing home money, but it also flows into everything they do. Everything they do, they are committed to, and they do well. That work ethic is how they treat people. Do they treat people with respect? So number 10 is cruel to their parents. Well, that was my previous, you know, verbally abused their mother for 10 years. You know, that's, and I didn't know that until I started living with them. So that's, this is why it's so important to date slowly. Don't jump in and go, let's move in within 8 weeks. And I'm sure we've all made that mistake. Lord knows I've made it more times than I needed to. You know, date slow, get to know these people, get to know the person that you know you're attracted to. There's no rush. There's no rush. And if they're rushing you, that in and of itself is a red flag. Their attitude, number 11, is their attitude changes on a dime. I call this the Jekyll and Hyde attitude. And yeah, the explanation they had on this website where I got that, and I, forgive me, I don't know, can't remember the name. I did write it down of the website. So forgive me, I can't remember it. They actually had, they've been nice to you all day, and then they don't talk to you at all. And I think that's a form of stonewalling too, to be honest. The experience, I had that, but I also experienced, we would go out for coffee. And those of you that have listened to previous podcasts, you will have heard that before, and talk and chat up the coffee chick, and then on the walk home be talking about how wonderful she is and what a hard worker she is. And then we get home, close the door, and within about 3 minutes, it was turned all around on me. And, you know, just the verbal diarrhea just spewed out, you know, and I called them out on this, to be honest. So I fucking knew this had happened. And I ended up becoming someone I didn't like. So, you know, that's what happens when you're in an abusive relationship, I think. Okay, number 11, different sleep schedule to you. Yep, and I'm not talking shift work here either. Up playing games till 5 in the morning, and then they sleep all day. When you've got a normal sleep pattern, and by normal I mean, you know, going to bed at a decent hour, 10:30, getting up at 6 or 7 or whatever, it's not going to work. Are they, number 13, cheated on their last partner with you? It may have worked if you've done that. I don't know. I believe cheating is a choice. That if you're in a relationship, you should be committed to that relationship. That is my ethics. And I don't think, over the years, I have seen so many people, so many lesbians out there that have, you know, are crushed because they don't, it deeply affects your level of need of trusting the other person. You know, So, you know, but I have no judgment there. I just know that I'm committed to the relationship I'm in, and I think my girlfriend deserves that commitment and that monogamy. But that's our commitment to each other too. Okay, number 14, they demand or think they are entitled to your phone, your email, your social media, and all your passwords. And that in and of itself ties in with domestic violence 101, my warriors. Along with the cheating, as far as I know, I haven't had that, but, you know, driving a wedge between the family, number 5, the boundaries, calling in names, having no work ethic and being cruel to their parents, all of those 6 things tie in with domestic violence. And lesbians do not call it domestic violence, and I fucking am, because lesbians, I hate to break it to you, domestic violence, she might not have smacked you in the head, but she has mentally fucked with you and she has emotionally manipulated you. She's probably gaslit you, stonewalled you, and they're two that aren't on this bloody list. I have had gone to the shower and come home with previous girlfriend, and this was about 7 years ago. Only for her to be holding my phone, and then she would project onto me what she saw. And I said, well, you had no right to my phone anyway. And that was it, the relationship. And it's not the only thing that happened in that relationship. It took me about 6 months of living with her to figure out that she was emotionally abusing me, and that was it. Once I knew that, I started organising leaving, because there was no way I was going to put up with that shit. And these are the things I've mentioned gaslighting and stonewalling there too. They're quite abusive traits, red flags, and a lot of the time they don't do that until they're actually, you're in their control anyway. And we're not talking about abuse, we're talking red flags. So there's 14. And basically what you have to decide is, long term, is any of this going to happen? Are any of the points that I've mentioned going to snowball? And you have to be incredibly honest. You have to look at your previous relationships and go, what didn't I like? Where did I fuck up? Where did they fuck up? What didn't I like about what they did? Go to a counsellor who's very, very good at relationships and dissect it all, knowing that, oh, that's what I did, falling in love with potential and not the actual person is a thing. They're a good worker or whatever, only to find out that, you know, once you've jumped the gun and you hauled it after 3-6 weeks, that, you know, that was just a ploy to get you in, and now she wants you to support her. And you have to figure out before you move in whether any of these red flags are showing up, can you talk anything through with them? Do they project onto you? There's another 2, sorry, can't count. But there's another 2, you know, because a lot of these things don't show up when you clearly communicate with each other. You know, I had a few people show up before my current girlfriend, and, you know, honestly, red flags all over the place. Did not go with my list of what I'd wanted, what I had written down about what I wanted in a relationship. And I thought, well, what's the choice here? You know, what are you going to do? No, I'm sorry, that's it. Can't do it. Move on. And then just settle down, move into a bit of self-love. And that was, shortly dating a few people. And you have to be very insistent about what you want. You have to know with every fibre of your being what you want in a relationship. Now, there are some people out there that have only ever loved the one woman. And you know what? If you are lucky enough to be that one woman and be in a long-term lesbian relationship, man, I bow down before you. You know, I just think that you, and I personally know of a few that have been in long-term relationships. I've got a couple of Facebook friends that have been in, together for 30 years. And I just think that's just so beautiful. And we could learn a lot from those people. One of them, I know now that we're talking about it, well, I'm talking about it, you're listening, is they don't argue. So that number 8 of calling you names in arguments, it doesn't happen. And I know with my girlfriend, we don't. We just flow together. It's quite magical, to be honest. And I don't think either of us could have handled anything less because of, you get so broken after a couple of relationships and go, my parents stayed together forever, or, someone I know has been together and why can't it happen for me? And, it's just that the heartbreak just gets on top of you and sometimes can kill all your faith in humanity and in what we perceive to be love. So I hope that you do find someone to love and nurture you and all of that. And if you need to listen to a previous episode called The List, go right ahead. And I'll pop in next week and talk about the green flags. If you want to join, like I said at the beginning of the episode, come on over to Facebook and join my Barefoot Warrior discussion group. I'd love to see you there. If you would like to work with me and to move through any of these issues, and just, if you want a 2.5-hour session of writing down your list and what you want and how to word it and all of that kind of thing, it'd give me great pleasure to help you on that front. Email me at barefootcoach@yahoo.com. Follow me on Instagram, barefootwarrior69, and I'm the same on TikTok. Okay, have a great day, my warriors. Be kind and remember I love you.